At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
After the last show, I talked about this because, you know, of your work with IZW and it being a booker, I still want to play this game where we take... No, and I don't know that calling it a games fair.
Right.
But taking sort of tropey things that you see in whether it's independence or even, you know, the WWE, like wrestling companies in general. And the example that came to my brain, and it's not a critique about the angle in the sense of like whether you like the angle, think it's good, dumb, or stupid.
Right.
It's really what is typically the goal behind that angle or gimmick. And the one that came to mind for this is champion with shit ton of belts. You know, and Mercedes Moné is the example right now. But like, you know, I remember when we were in college, the Ultimo Dragon photo.
Right.
Right. And how many times you see companies and the WWE has to do it in the WWE. That's like I'm holding both a tag title and the world heavyweight title or an intercontinental.
Right.
Like
they don't have the outside belts. Yeah.
Right. And that's about as far as, you know, Becky two belts and stuff like that. But I think the intent is still similar. And it's like, what is, if you're a booker, what is your end goal for like participating that in that? Like if you're like in the indies or, and what is the goal from a character standpoint? Like, what are you trying to tell? What is it that you're trying to convey that's compelling to a crowd to want them to come and see it? And what does it get? Like, you know what I mean? So it's not really, for me, it's not like, do you like that Mercedes is carrying 8 belts? Like, that's not the argument. It's like, what is the intent? Where are they trying to go and what are they trying to do?
So I'm going to answer that one since we're here and we're doing this and I'm recording.
Are you recording it? Oh, man.
I started recording at the beginning of this question. So the intent, because I had a plan for today's show, and so now it's like, fuck that plan.
I haven't seen you in a month, man.
I know, right? Here's why I think, and it's different at different levels, okay? When you go to the highest level, and I'm putting AEW on that highest level, they're on cable television. Mm-hmm. So people are like, AEW highest level. No, shut up, you're stupid. Like, you don't have to like it. I don't like it, but I acknowledge where it is. However they got there does not matter. When you're at that highest level and you're doing that gimmick, right? The big old belts, like Kenny Omega was doing it. He had his belt collector gimmick. Now Mercedes Moné has her belt collector gimmick. It is totally ego driven. It does nothing for the product whatsoever. AEW gains nothing from Mercedes Moné walking around with all those titles. There's no viewers. There's no extra viewers coming in. There's no extra sponsorship money coming in. They're not getting additional recognition because every one of those belts that she is holding is beneath the belt she holds for them. So it's just decoration that makes her feel good about herself. The same thing with Kenny Omega. TNA literally had to put their title back on black leather for Kenny Omega so it would match the other titles that they had at the time. Because at the time it was on like red or whatever color it was on when he won it. So,
right.
And they put, and they, TNA brought back the old title to have people carry on so he could win two titles, two physical belts when he won their title. Because remember, he carried around two different TNA titles when he was doing that, even though he was just one TNA champion. It was all about when he was the belt collector, not the championship collector, but the physical belt collector. When you do it on the indies, it's a little bit different because depending on the titles, it could help the promotion. It could help the talent because it's just different. They're not on television. They're not all where it is. I can tell you that we have started paring back on other belts coming out in IZW. Like we've had people come out, walk out with other belts or whatever. And it's like, I even had somebody ask me, like one of our commentators was like, why? No one really even knows what those belts are that they're wearing. They have your belts and why I have the other ones. And I'm like, oh, I know. And some people will ask if they can and then we'll say yes or no. We work very closely with certain other promotions, and so sure. we have people bring that out, and that's a partnership thing. And on our next show, August 23rd, Psycho Circus 3, IZWTix.com, the WrestleDrag Pride Championship is being defended when Ocean Avery defends against Martin Casals. So that's something that we're doing with WrestleDrag, and we've had the WrestleDrag title defended on our shows. They've also had our titles defended on their shows. I think every single one of our titles has been defended on one right. of their shows at some point. So that's a strategic partnership, right, if you want to put a fancy title to it. But when you get to the TV, and that's why WWE never does it, right, which is funny. And I'll tell you why it's funny here in a minute. But because they're about to do it with somebody, in my opinion, and I think it's going to make sense for that person. And you're smiling because I think you know why. But it just doesn't make full-on sense for WWE, because, or especially AEW, like all those titles. Yes, because Tony's an indie wrestling fan and a fan of all that stuff, and so that's why they're doing it. Because remember, for all the criticism that WWE had for years being built for an audience of one, that's what AEW is. So it's. You know, it's because Tony likes it, and because it's the talent wants it, and Tony's going to acquiesce to the talent because Tony's a player coach, basically, right. is what he is. And so that's why they do it there. Do I think it's useful? No, not at that level. It just doesn't make sense to me unless you have that partnership, right? JC Jane right now in NXT, she is the NXT Women's Champion and the TNA Knockouts Champion. It's part of a storyline. It makes sense. Trick Williams, he only holds a TNA championship. He doesn't hold an NXT championship, but it also fits into that same storyline. Your top two champions in TNA are NXT wrestlers. Like, they're obviously building to something that's going to pay off in the end. And I think it's going to pay off with TNA winning out, which is a right. big complaint that people have had and continue to have moving forward. I'm still kind of surprised that no one in TNA hasn't won like the tag titles, the NXT tag titles or something like that. Maybe they will. It would make sense for them to do that. And there's still plenty of time. It's not a short-term partnership, obviously, what they're doing, and it's been great for everybody. But in WWE, the reason why I brought that up is because Dominic Mysterio is the Intercontinental Champion, and he's announced to be one of the four people fighting over the AAA Mega Championship at Triple Mania, I believe on the 16th. And so a lot of people thought he would lose the Intercontinental title at SummerSlam right. to AJ Styles because they assume that he's going to win the Mega Championship. And if I were them, I would have him win the Mega Championship. You could put it on Dragon Lee or somebody else and use that to push that wrestler, right? El Grande Americano, who is apparently so over in Mexico, it's hilarious, as a babyface, basically. Like, they love the character, whereas people, they love the character in Mexico, and people in America said it was cultural appropriation and hated it. So check right. think about your wokeness sometimes. Like, sometimes we get woke over things that the people who should care don't, and it makes us look like idiots. And that's the El Grande Americano gimmick. But Dominic Mysterio holding both championships makes sense to me. It fits his character. It fits his right. gimmick to walk around holding both. And it also will make it a bigger moment when he finally drops that Intercontinental title. And he'll still have the AAA Mega Championship, and it'll be fine. And it helps AAA because it gets it on TV. And it helps WWE because it's pushing AAA now more on American television. And now they have the 51% ownership stake in it. So it makes sense for them to do that. But it's a one-off. So I guess the real answer to your question is that there's no one answer, just like in most of wrestling. There's no one.
It sounds like it depends.
It does depend.
right.
Let me find.
Which I think is a fair answer, too.
I gotta find. Have you seen the Bully Ray comments about WWE Unreal?
No, but I'm tired of Bully Ray these days.
And that's just the thing, right? So here is, let's see here. I gotta find the comments because
I mean, he's sure happy to go. It's cool. Be critique. Wishes that Seth Rollins would have kept his.
So what he basically, he talked about like WWE Unreal, and he put it in the sense of seeing a woman, right? You see her in a bikini long enough, you don't want to see her in a bikini anymore. And then you see her nude, and then it just doesn't matter anymore. And he's saying the same thing about WWE Unreal. They're showing so much of the wrestling business. How much are you going to want to see in the future? And I'm reading this comment, and I'm like applying it to Bully Ray. I've heard Bully Ray so much. Do I want to continue to hear Bully Ray? And if I posted that somewhere, people would go apeshit because we can't apply that logic to legends commenting on wrestling because he's a legend and knows what he's talking, whatever. But like, I find myself oftentimes not agreeing with Bully Ray, and I just feel
I do remember that 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 Kame, because it was it was like, oh, she's pretty in a bikini, so then you go to the topless bar, and then topless isn't good enough, so you go full nude, then full nude isn't good enough, what do you do next? And just there's no satisfaction. I'm like, first of all, I if people didn't already know or want to know, like, how the salad, or, you know, how the sausage is made, like
they already know.
We've known this since Eric Bischoff was reading results. We knew before Eric Bischoff
was reading
results. Like, so I get however you were trained and whatever you were taught. Okay, I get it. I also think that doesn't preclude the fact that the world has changed, how the entertainment is presented has changed, and that I think there's a legitimate interest in a watered down version of putting together a WWE event, because good Lord, does that show make Bruce Pritchard look like a dick?
Yeah. And that's fine. Like, he's playing into it, because Pritchard's been called that for decades.
Right.
He talks about it on his own show. Like, it's just.
But let me tell you, the other side of that though is, and this is old man shouting at cloud. I watched that clip, and I wasn't like mortally offended. I was more like, do we not give like honest feedback if we think something sucked?
Like, well,
do we not do that?
Okay.
Or do we not know how to handle it or take it?
Can we talk about this for a second? Can we talk about this for a second?
And it was Abyss. I know how much.
I was going to say, who was he giving the feedback to?
Not Abyss, because he wasn't wearing the mask.
Right, but again, a guy who, as a wrestler, had a reputation of being very self-conscious and very paranoid.
Right.
And so when I saw that everyone's focusing on Bruce Pritchard, I'm focusing on Abyss. And I shouldn't be. That's like, because the Abyss doesn't exist anymore. It's Chris Park, and he's a great agent, and gets a ton of great feedback. And I think the point of the whole thing wasn't to make Bruce Pritchard look like a dick. It was to make William Regal look like an uncle.
Right. Oh, sure. And it fits so well into what people already assume.
Yeah.
William Regal is, and
it also fits so well into what everyone assumed Bruce Pritchard is.
And for me, like, I didn't exactly grow up in like a tough love household, or you know, but like, I just, when I'm seeing all these people be like, Bruce Pritchard was so mean, and I'm like, I've been in those meetings in a job.
Yeah, we used to work at UConn.
When I suck, well, it happens at UMass.
Yeah,
I was talking about this with my boss's boss. I was
remember, we're recording right now.
Right, but they don't listen to this program, and nobody who works with me listens to this program. It's okay. But when I hear a couple of sentences, when I hear, help me understand, ... like, I fucked up. I know I fucked up. And then the other one is, it appears to be, ... And I'm like, well, okay. And I'm not saying I'm happy about it. I'm not saying I'm turning cartwheels. And I've been dressed down by supervisors before.
Right. We all have.
And I'm not saying you can't have feelings about it. But I also think that, like, come on. Like, that's like, he's telling you what he thought of the segment. He said it was too long and it was shit. Like, he didn't like it. He didn't call him a bad person.
No.
He didn't say you're trash. He didn't say you're worthless and don't belong in the business. He didn't do anything like that.
No, I said all those things years ago, but.
Right. So what's the problem here? That's the thing, is I'm like, I don't see the problem. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. It had nothing to do with what we were talking about.
No, it's okay, because I have had people want to know my opinion on WWE Unreal. And I think they're kind of surprised to find out I haven't watched a second of it. Like, literally, me all either. I've seen are clips. And a guy was asking me what I thought about it, told me to watch it, and then he hasn't watched it either. So he pulled it up, and he said he got about 30 seconds in when he realized this is what they want us to see. This isn't...
Well, of course. Of course.
Like, this is made for... Yeah, this is made for an audience. Like, it's, of course it is. Like, WWE is going to control. And I said, remember when they did the documentary on WrestleMania 40, and it was supposed to come out like a week after WrestleMania. It took like 3.5 months to come out. It's because The Rock had control over what was in it and what we saw in it. And The Rock didn't want us to see certain things because it was really just a documentary for The Rock, and he just wanted to look a certain way. And now here we are. So, but we'll talk about The Rock in a little bit. Let's do this. Let's start the show.
We have started the show.
Let's officially start the show, and then talk about some of the wrestling and talk about some of the other stuff. I'm trying to find the show opening. It's like, did I get rid of it? No, here it is. We're changing back. Okay, so I run thechairshot.com, right? You could say I own it. You can say I whatever, right? PC Tunney is my boss and all of our boss when it comes to the podcasting. PC Tunney said this should be the Greg DeMarco show. So PC Tunney, this is the Greg DeMarco show.
Oh, Phoenix!
Hey, yo.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
It's Pastoral Down.
You straight punk bitch!
I mean, you're just gonna replace me.
Shut up!
Randy Morales,
the biggest slut in the Western Hemisphere!
Why do I have to have a buzzer?
And Greg DeMarco.
You are now and will forever be an asshole.
Because it's my show.
And I love you, Greg.
You guys know how to party.
You're welcome.
Here we are. We are back. We are live. We basically took off the entire month of July and a little bit of June as well. It's Greg DeMarco. It's Patrick O'Dowd. It's the Greg DeMarco Show. It is Tuesday, the 5th of August in the year 2025. We are so back. We are so back. We started the show with a conversation before the opening.
At least for a few weeks.
Yeah. When Patrick gets too overwhelmed with his job, and then we have to take a week off. But we'll figure that out when we get there. And maybe we can plan for it and have somebody fill in. We sure as fuck didn't do that this summer. So,
Well, as you are the host of the show, and as you, I'm just going to say it. I missed a few shows, yes. You missed more.
I think I did.
For good reason. Yeah. For good reason. Like, I understand, like,
family. Well, there was one week I was sick. There was time where I was traveling. I had family, my son in town. That was like three of the weeks. So yeah, it's all good.
Like I had like back to back weeks where I was like, I can't do it.
But I had three weeks. Like, then you had two, then I had three, then you had one, then I had one. Yeah. It like all kind of went that
as
way.
As it is, in the time that that we were gone, I celebrated my 20th wedding anniversary. That was exciting. See?
Look at that.
That was a big deal. So I got that going for me.
Very good.
That's about all that happened.
Now, according to Bully Ray, you should be very tired of that wedding, that marriage, because it's been the same stuff for 20 years. So according to Bully Ray,
time is a flat circle, I guess.
Not according to Bully Ray.
Yeah, sure. I will say when it comes to... Yeah, and I'm sure we'll talk about it. I do feel like sometimes watching WWE programming is a little bit of a flat circle. But then again, I think I'd feel that way about AEW if I watched AEW too. Like, I don't think that... I think the companies are what they are. They do their thing. And generally, you kind of know what you're going to get. Uh-huh. If you enjoy the stories, great. If you don't enjoy the stories, you're going to be a miserable troll online.
Or you just watch something else.
Yeah, sure. Crazy. Like, wow, women of wrestling.
Or here's a crazy thought. Not wrestling. What?
But I still, you know what? I can't escape it, though. I still enjoy watching something. Yeah. Like, I just, the thing I think the thing I love the most, I love watching TNA now more than I have in the past. NXT, you know, storyline and all, because it still knows what it is and what it wants to be, and it executes it extraordinarily well. Like, I really, like, they're never going to be, like, the monster company that, you know, that everybody ever hoped that they'd wanted to be. The closest they came was, you know, in the early 2000s, early 2010s. And even then, it was a distant alternative. But after a ton of us making jokes about a company that just refused to die when maybe it should, I feel like it's in the best place it's been in forever, if not ever. And it's because it's finally the people that are running that show and that company are like, this is who we are, this is what we do, and we're going to lean into that, and it's going to be great.
I'd be very interested to see where they would be if Scott D'Amore had purchased it.
It because would be interesting.
He was talking to WWE. He was part of that. Yeah. So would it just be the same but different? I don't know, but it's very interesting to see where we were. But a lot of stuff has happened since we were gone, right? While you were out, all these things went down. And so we're going to kind of catch all on some major topics, and we'll see what we get to since, according to my calculations, we're right 20 minutes into the program and haven't talked about a single topic yet. So some of these may go quickly, and that's okay, because some of them, a lot has been said by the World of Wrestling and by the World of Wrestling podcasters. And so we don't need a ton to be said about them. But let's start at the beginning. This isn't necessarily in chronological order because one of these happened before the other. But a few weeks ago, a man responsible for a lot of different things, both good and bad, passed away. And that is, of course, Hulk Hogan. I remember literally waking up, you know, because I live on Pacific time. So I'll wake up at, if I wake up at 7, that's 10 o'clock for you guys on the East Coast. You've already been up and saw news and everything. And the first thing I see is a comment from Ric Flair about Hulk Hogan. And I read the comment from Ric Flair about Hulk Hogan, and I'm like, well, okay, Hulk Hogan died. Like, basically based on that comment. And then I start seeing the stuff that Hulk Hogan died and all of this and all of that. And of course, everybody has an opinion, and everybody cares, and everybody podcasts about it, and everybody talks about it. And now fast forward, and there's everything from, like, I literally saw someone that said Hulk Hogan was just lucky that he was so successful, that he just benefited off of everybody else's hard work. I've seen people that are like, how can you talk negatively about Hulk Hogan? He built the business, blah, 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 blah. And of course, everything in between. So much has gone down in our lifetimes regarding Hulk Hogan. Like, he's the reason I started watching wrestling. He's the reason I started cheering for heels. Not the NWO, but when I was cheering for Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff, because I thought he was right as a kid. And just, you know, Hogan's always been there. You could say he's the greatest babyface and the greatest heel of all time, if you really wanted to. Like, you could make that argument. You can't have a Mount Rushmore without him unless you're being vindictive. And I get it.
He kicked off not one, but two booming eras in professional wrestling.
I mean, if we want to talk about era, like people who have led eras, it's Hogan, then it's this Hogan, Rock, Austin combination, and then it's Cena, then it's Roman. Like, that's it. In terms of the modern day eras of pro wrestling, that's just it. Like, sorry, Shawn, sorry, Taker, sorry, Brett, sorry, Sting, sorry, Dusty. But like, those are the ones who really did it. And Ric Flair, like, we got to count Ric Flair in there as well. So that's the group right now. But so much has been said and done about Hogan that, and some of this is just me and the way I process things. We've joked before, both privately and publicly, that I could be a spy with the way that I compartmentalize and process stuff. Hulk Hogan passed away, and I was like, welp. Like, I did not have an emotion about it. Either way, I had one back and forth with somebody on Instagram in a positive way where just kind of they were like, I don't know how to feel. And I was like, yeah, it's one of the most complicated figures in professional wrestling history. Really and truly is.
Without a doubt.
And he passed away, and it's like, I think for some people, believe it or not, which is odd to say, it was a relief that Hogan was gone. For other people, it was this big nostalgia and sadness. And then they're criticizing people who are saying positive things about him, and then other people are criticizing people who are saying negative things about him. And that's a whole nother issue of don't tell me how to feel. Like, just let people feel whatever they're going to feel just because they don't agree with you. Then all of a sudden, it's a terrible thing. Like, I saw lots of criticism about the way that AEW didn't acknowledge him except for Tony Schiavone on commentary. And I'm like, Tony Khan said from the beginning, the guy wasn't welcome. Like, I don't know what you expect. And I know you think that AEW wouldn't exist without Hulk Hogan, and that's true. Just like most of these other wrestling companies. It doesn't mean they got to do a fucking video package and a 10-bell salute for him. We got enough of those on WWE programming. So we're fine. But it sounds bad, and people are going to hear this and be like, what the fuck? I don't care. It's not that I don't care that a dude died, but like, I already was watching wrestling without him for a long time. And I saw the reaction. Last time he appeared was what? The Raw on Netflix premiere?
When he got booed out of the building. His beard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and people got mad about that. What'd you think in a very liberal Southern California crowd? What did you think was going to happen?
Right.
Like, come on.
So yeah, for me, I very much, I thought it was funny because not that he died, right. But like,
of course
I really did. Like when I saw the news, I was like, wow, that's, you know, that is a significant piece of my childhood and youth. Like, my first wrestling memory that I talk about all the time is the famous Hulk Hogan doing the double take with the referees after losing his belt. And being so wrapped up in that era of the WWE/F back at the time, like that was a thing. As a person, never was okay that I never met the guy.
Right.
And so when he passed, I was like, oh, well, he was in his 70s. Like, it's not terribly surprising, but I'm not that sad about it. But the number of people who, because I'm the wrestling guy in the office, were like, oh, are you okay? How are you doing? I'm like, I'm fine. He was a terrible person. Like, I am very much like, I am not saddened by his passing. Because the Hulk Hogan, the person, Terry Bollea, the person, in my opinion, because I don't know him, and if, you know, I've heard people say, oh, he was trying to make amends and like right all these wrongs. Great. Never saw that. Don't care. And in my opinion, the horrible, 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 horrible stuff that he was recorded on a show saying about his daughter's boyfriend or dating black men. Like, to me, that is a disqualifier. I don't care how much you found Jesus, because it takes more than finding Jesus. And he'd been saying his prayers and eating his vitamins
since day one. Yeah.
So I don't know if I buy it, but so many people are like, why aren't you more upset? And then I am also with you, like, that doesn't mean I give a shit how you grieve or didn't grieve or felt bad or didn't feel bad. What I found interesting and annoying was sort of the self-righteous backlash that people threw, because like Tony Schiavone caught shit because he didn't call Hulk Hogan a friend. He called him a coworker. Like, acknowledged Hulk Hogan's place in the business, recognized that it was a very big death, but somebody was like, oh, you know, it must be tough to lose a friend. He's like, he wasn't a friend. He was a coworker.
Yeah.
And people lost their shit. Like, how can you say that?
That's because they weren't friends.
And Tony's like, I'm not going to feel bad for, like, I'm not going to act like I'm grieving for somebody I'm not really grieving.
Exactly.
It was insane to me. And then the other thing I think is weird, and I just think this is weird in general, people, when famous people die, we do not need to go to an AI generator program and put sad eulogy pictures of them meeting their old friends in heaven. Because let me just lay this out for you very, very, very clearly. By the wonderful book that you hold so true and dear, none of those people are there.
That's actually not true, but okay.
Okay, well, I'm not going to say none. Sorry, I'm not a religious guy, so
there's only one way to go there, according to the book, and it doesn't matter what you did. It matters what you believe and where you put your faith. And even if you do it right before you go, you get to go there.
depends on which faith you're following, though, because that's the fun thing about religion is they all got different thoughts and that's interpret true. That book in different ways.
Cause I sure do.
That's a very Catholic view of things. I'm sorry. Okay, you're good. Anyway, I just find it tough to believe that your AI portrait of Hulk Hogan being greeted with warm hugs by the Ultimate Warrior and Macho Man Randy Savage at the Pearly Gates is how it would go down. Can we agree on that?
First of all, they didn't even like each other, so no, it wouldn't go down that way.
Yes, 1,000%. I just find it weird. I find it strange, and so I don't engage. I don't like comment on these things. I just, it's a strange thing to see. And I just scroll past.
Sometimes the internet in
there too.
It's the good old internet.
It's weird. But, like, yeah, if you loved Hulk Hogan and you think he was a wonderful dude and you're sad, that's cool. Don't tell me I have to be sad. Don't tell Tony Schiavone he has to call him a friend. Like, that's not your business.
But at the same time, don't try to compare people trying to support Hulk Hogan and all the wonderful things he did for the business and separate those things to how you want to put Chris Benoit in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, God.
Because these are not apples to apples in any way.
Those aren't even apples to pomegranates. That's like apples to a turd sandwich.
This is not, you know, and I could wax on for days about people who, you know, in the same breath, love the Bud Light advertising campaign and hate the American Eagle advertising campaign. Like, you can't love one and hate the other. They're really two sides of the same coin.
That's just it's such a bizarro, like, what people choose to get mad about.
Of course.
And how much you're being manipulated into being mad about something too. Of course. Like, that's another thing that's going on.
You know, and that's the reason why these things work, is because they know how people are going to feel and how people are going to react. But I will say this, because the Chris Benoit thing was just an aside. No one needs to talk about that for a long period of time. There are two deaths that are going to be like this. One is Hulk Hogan, and the other is Vince McMahon. When those two go,
the test run.
This was really just the preview for when McMahon goes, whenever that may be. And you know, I'm not going to sit here and wish death upon anybody and be like, hopefully he's gone soon and we're rid of these guys. Like, that's just stupid. But when Vince goes, it's going to be equally complicated, maybe more so. Because, we wouldn't have the business we have today without Hulk Hogan. But remember, it was Vince who signed Hogan and took him on the road and took the company global with Hogan at the front. So he also wouldn't have the business as we know it today without Vince McMahon. So when Vince goes, and because Hogan went first, when Vince goes, I think it's going to be this times 10. And it'll be very interesting to see. And you know, much like Hogan, I'm going to sit back and maybe talk about, hopefully it's in the middle of the summer, and then we get to wait 6 weeks before we talk about it on a podcast. And so it'll be, we'll have time to have let everybody else kind of simmer on it and move beyond it. But to me, it's, you know, the biggest thing for me is that hopefully we're all growing up enough at this point to not tell other people how to feel in both directions. Cause there were people telling us to be mad and there were people telling us to celebrate. And it was just kind of how everybody went crazy. We had another departure, not from the earth, not from life, but from wrestling, at least we think. And that was the retirement of Bill Goldberg while we were gone. Bill Goldberg had his last match against Gunther on WWE's Saturday Night Main Event, in Atlanta, Georgia, which is, of course, his hometown, even though he doesn't live there now, I don't believe. But maybe he does. I don't know. I'm probably putting something on him that's not true. And a lot of people didn't like it. A lot of people weren't happy about it because his retirement speech got cut off and it didn't have the build they wanted to have. And Bill himself wasn't happy with it. And it's just all not good things, apparently. So, no. Patrick O'Dowd, don't zen yourself. Talk about it. Talk your shit.
There's not much shit to talk here.
No, there's plenty.
There's plenty of shit to talk here. It's to me. So when this whole thing happened, one, I just don't associate Bill Goldberg and his career as any level of meaningful in the WWE. I don't. He was a WCW guy. when he went to the WWE and he had his run, it was never good. Like, and I don't know what sort of rose-colored glasses we're putting on, you know, whether it was a run up to Brock Lesnar that then turned into the most infamous booing match in WrestleMania history, to stops and starts where he would come back, win a belt, look gassed, like not in the best shape. Like, I never really associated him with the WWE. So the fact that he got a retirement match at all on a Saturday night's main event seemed silly to me, even if it's not truly his last retirement match. I don't see it as the big injustice that people made it out to be. I think Goldberg's ego is so fucking huge that, of course, that when his speech got cut short on the television audience, he was going to say something about it, because he's never been shy about being bitchy about how he's been treated by the WWE. Like, the dude shits on the company. They give him a retirement match and he still shits on the company. And I don't think the company tried all that hard, because I don't think they really wanted the headache of doing it. Like, just to me, the whole thing was silly. It was dumb. And I don't know that it was necessary. Like,
right.
I didn't care. Like, you want to talk about something I did not care about? Goldberg's retirement match at Saturday Night's Main Event. Did not care.
I will say this. At this point, because of the ownership situation, WCW history is WWE history. So,
sure.
So what he did in WCW still applies here. Because it ain't like WCW's giving him a retirement match when they haven't existed for over 20 years.
Because they lost and folded. But it's also not like that programming that made him huge was produced by that company. The company bought them. So, like, that to me, like, there is a distinction. And it's not like Goldberg had a Booker T run, right?
Right. Like, I mean, he did hold the world title, but not like Booker T.
Sure. Right.
Like, Booker T had a Hall of Fame career just in WWE alone.
Yes.
Bill Goldberg did not. Only because he was always in the world title picture, and that's because of what he did in WCW. Here's my thing about it. Bill Goldberg came out and said a lot of things. Number one, he said it didn't have a proper build. Now, his son, in an interview leading up to that, said in an interview that he and his dad didn't watch the product currently. They weren't watching the product, and they weren't familiar with WWE storylines. Had they been watching the product, they would know 3 weeks is a build in modern-day WWE.
Right,
crazy PLE schedule they have. Unless you're winning the Royal Rumble or Elimination Chamber, you're not getting a 6-7-8-week build. You're getting 3 weeks. John Cena and Randy Orton, their final match, got a 3-week build. CM Punk and John Cena got like a 2-week build. Like, it's just what we do now because of the way the calendar works for WWE. Clash in Paris is like the end of this month.
Yep.
Those things are going to get, the only one that's getting the longest build is Stephanie Vaquer versus Naomi, because Stephanie Vaquer earned that title shot at Evolution. Like, it's just the way it works. So, you know, tell me you don't know your product without telling me you don't know your product. Bill told us that because he was complaining about a build that he should have known was never going to happen because it's WWE. Short of him winning the Royal Rumble and challenging for a title, which nobody wants. We went through that with Batista once before. We don't want that. So short of that happening. And look, we all can't have Batista's final match, okay? We all can't have dragging bloody Ric Flair out of a locker room screaming, "Give me what I want," to the camera. Like, we just can't all do that. I'm sorry, right. Bill. Batista was a bigger star than you, both on screen and in the ring.
Shots fired.
Then he says WWE cut his promo off on purpose.
No, they did not.
First of all, that show is put out by NBC. It is on live television. It is on networks. It is on networks that are going to the news after this is over. It is ending at the time. It is ending even if it's the middle of a match. They do not care. That has nothing to do with Goldberg. Now, he could claim that WWE didn't plan the show out properly. He can claim that they let certain things go too long, which is really funny because at the time we thought the Seth Rollins LA Knight match got cut short by injury, which I'm putting in air quotes. Because I remember hearing that being like, well, this match got cut short. How could they have possibly run over on time? Like, duh. So Bill was just never. Bill was like the AEW fan that sits down to watch Raw and is unhappy before Raw even goes on the air.
Right.
Bill was unhappy with his retirement before it even took place. And so if you go in saying you're going to be unhappy, you will ultimately be unhappy. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy that we've been talking about for more than a decade here on this program. Sorry. If Bill goes to AEW, I'll be honest with you. What's that?
It's about your damn luck.
Yeah, right?
You said sorry.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
If Bill were to go at AEW, they would give him better retirement. Look what they did for Sting. They absolutely would. I don't think the AEW talent and locker room and everybody feels the same way about Goldberg. Now, Tony Schiavone might. And Jim Ross might. Because they lived it in WCW. And not so much Jim Ross. Ross is already gone. You're right. But he was a football player and he was a blue chipper and he was all things that Ross loves.
It's true. You know who would have helped, though? It's good that you mentioned Schiavone. He really would have helped with the Saturday night's main event issue because he could have popped in and be like, "We're out of time!" And then we cut off and it's okay. And we're done. We move on.
I thought you meant he could have helped with the build, which he also could have helped with.
No. I'm just talking about the show.
Like a video package about Goldberg's career narrated by Tony Schiavone would have been perfect.
Oh, it would have made perfect sense.
But can't do that when the guy works for AEW. And if the guy didn't work for AEW, he wouldn't be in the business anyway because he was out of the business when he took the job with AEW. So
seems happy.
Exactly. Seems fine. He was co-workers with Hulk Hogan. It's all good, people. It's all good. But Goldberg's unhappy because of Goldberg, not because of anything else. So let's go to commercial break. Go to prowrestlingtees.com/chairshot. Pick up one of those beautiful chair shot t-shirts. Support the cause. Support the effort. Support so much more. We do appreciate it. As you do that, we will be right back with more wrestling topics as we play catch up here on the program.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade. New partnership that I guarantee you doesn't even work anymore.
7 years ago.
I literally play that for comedic purposes at this point, for my own entertainment. So we are back. It's Greg DeMarco, Patrick O'Dowd, Greg DeMarco show, because BC Tony said so. And look, I told Patrick years ago, if I ever try to change the show again, don't let me. So I blame Patrick.
I didn't try to talk you out of it at all.
No, you're just like, all right, whatever. Because you knew we'd be here today.
I did.
I sent this over to Patrick O'Dowd, and it is an AEW topic, but it's not an AEW topic in the negative way whatsoever. It is regarding Swerve Strickland, and he said some comments, and the headline was, and this isn't a wrestling news with a Z, this is real, because it's from the guy himself, right? The headline is Swerve Strickland confirms when he plans to retire. And it talked about an interview where he reiterated his plans that he intends to retire when his current contract with AEW ends in 2029. And someone asked him if that was true and if he was going to do that. And he said he meant every word. He said, honestly, I don't want to give my talent, my ability, my mind, my body, or my soul to anybody else. I want to give all that to AEW because they've given me everything I need. He said, I don't want to be part of the machine. I want to help run it. But the cool thing is I can still be hands-on. I can still be with the people, helping, teaching, exploring new ideas, not just respecting what's always been done, but crafting new ways of exploring uncharted territory. Don't tell that to Bully Ray. But I saw some people talk about this, and of course, what did they say? Well, that's bullshit. He'd go to WWE if they offered him a contract, blah, blah, blah. First of all, the dude's got multi-million dollar deal with AEW.
Right. He's fine.
I love the comments from Swerve. I think AEW needs that. I think Swerve has been perfect in AEW. My only complaint about Swerve in AEW was I felt like his title run wasn't as long as it could have been and got cut short, but I do think he'll have another one. I think AEW needs people like Swerve. Swerve is a much better ambassador for AEW than any Young Buck, any Kenny Omega, anybody else. Now, Omega's gotten a lot better in his comments about wrestling and the company in general. The Bucks are still the Bucks. Cody, of course, is long gone. And Hangman Page is, you know, again, the main character of the company, like supposedly he was always supposed to be. Who knows? But I love these comments from Swerve. I really do. And I've always been a big Swerve fan, regardless of the company that he worked for. And I don't see how this could be a negative in any way, unless somebody really, truly wanted it to be a negative. So I know you don't watch AEW, neither do I, but you know the talent, you know the situation, and you're a human being with a brain. What do you think about Swerve's comments on his retirement in 2029, ending his career in AEW?
I think it's refreshing for somebody to be honest about it. I think it's not like he's saying he's leaving wrestling. He's just not wrestling. Right? Like, if you really look at those comments, like...
Yeah, he wants to be there. He wants
to teach. He wants to be around. And, you know, it's funny, and I don't know when what you shared got posted, but the picture that you sent me of, like, people passing the torch down...
Oh, that's coming.
But basically, that's kind of what Swerve Strickland is talking about. It's sort of wrestling to 2029 and then retiring and then teaching others. That's actually more passing the torch than what you see in the ring. And I don't see how you can't respect somebody who wants to do that. And also, let's be honest, pro wrestling is such a demanding industry.
Oh, yeah.
To your mental health, to your overall physical health. Like, it sounds like this is a guy who wants to be able to walk under his own power for a significant period of time. He doesn't want to be broken down. That he loves it, but not so much that he can't leave the in-ring part of it. Like, it doesn't sound like he needs that adrenaline pop of a crowd. And, just hearing him talk about, like, the physical toll he doesn't want it to take on his body, I think that is almost as telling as, like I said, teaching and working with the company and continuing to make it better in a different way. I don't see how you can be mad about it. I don't see how you have any problem with that.
Me neither. Like I said, now, could it change in the next 5 years? Of course it could.
Sure.
And if it does, I hope people don't slam him for this, because a lot can change in a person's life and their feelings and their thoughts in 5 years. Like, it's called being a human being. I feel like this is the Hogan topics brought this out. This topics brought this out. I feel like we've hit a point in the life where we're just not allowed to be humans. We really got to be robots. We have to be robots.
It's a big byproduct of everybody having a platform and feeling like everyone needs to hear their thoughts. Like, for as great as social media is, and I do think there are great things about social media, one of the things that it has really made crystal clear is that it empowers everybody to kind of say anything that's on their brain, or to have a reaction to it, to where I can say, strawberry ice cream is delicious. And somebody can respond, what, you don't like chocolate? Why do you hate chocolate so much? And just take it and turn it. It's what we do.
It is.
And it just wasn't nearly this level of visible the way it is now. Because we're all plugged in. We're all on these sites. And we're all kind of begging for the attention, right? Like, we're all trying to see, we're all trying to be seen. And if you can get that engagement, you feel seen. And that's why I think trolling's so big, is because you feel seen when you troll.
You're right. You're 100% right. And that's probably what's wrong with the system. The system's probably flawed. But again, the system being flawed, when people blame the system for being flawed, it's an excuse. Like, yes, all these people have a platform, And yes, we don't need to hear all these people's opinions, but they only matter if we care about them. And hating them is still caring about them. You know, it's we've always said before on all these programs, love and hate are two sides of the same coin. The only way you can really kill these people is with indifference. And if we stop worrying about what they say, if we stop commenting on what they say, if we stop signal boosting what they say, and complaining about what somebody said is signal boosting it, I know it's hard to believe, then it's on you guys. It's on you guys out there. That's why I told Pat when I was leaving SummerSlam, and people who I was there with immediately rushed to social media to see what everybody was saying. And I was like, but why? Who cares? Did you like it? Well, I want to know what people think, and I want to know what this person thinks and that person thinks. And I was like, who gives a fuck? Like, seriously, who gives a fuck? Like, we used to just watch things for our own enjoyment. We used to sit around and talk politics with people who disagreed with us and then hung out and had fun. Now we have to hate them. So, yeah, it's just, and this is, wrestling really is a microcosm of life. And so that's why I think I do apply it to life-related topics so often, because it truly is. Very few of the deep-rooted why people feel the way they feel about things in wrestling are really just wrestling. And I know we people probably get tired of the fact when we talk about things that aren't wrestling and associated with it, but that's just the way life is. So, sorry, but really not sorry. I hate apologizing for something that I'm not upset about. So, next up, we had SummerSlam. SummerSlam took place. So we're back in real time now. SummerSlam took place this past weekend. We had some really cool things happen on SummerSlam, and I've got a few things to talk about, and I know there might want to be other things that Patrick O'Dowd will talk about as well. I'm not going to sit here and pound the table about how we had another two-night major pay-per-view without women in the main event of either night. I've banged that drum enough. Triple H hates women. It's fine. We can move on from that. But we did have two main events, and we did have major items coming out of both main events. And that was something that we literally had major happenings. We had major pay-per-view endings for both shows, for both nights of SummerSlam. And that's something that I don't think has happened with these two-night pay-per-views, as some have carried over from one night to the other. But we really had endings that could stand alone on both of those nights. Of course, on Saturday night, Patrick O'Dowd, we had someone who, when he finally goes down in history, I really want to see what his place in history is, because Money in the Bank is got to be more synonymous with Seth Rollins than anybody at this point. Like, he has two of the best cash-ins ever at this point.
Right.
They knew it would be hard to top the WrestleMania 31, the heist of the century. And of course they did it with what they're calling the heist of the summer. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I know so many people predicted it, and that's the world we live in right now, where the moment somebody gets hurt, everyone predicts something in the other direction, because they just want to be right in the end. They didn't really know. They just want to be able to say they knew. I really loved PC Tunney's idea of Rollins cashing in on Cody on Saturday night after Cody won. You had two winners, CM Punk and Cody Rhodes. Seth Rollins is already feuded with both of them to death. So it's like, what do we do? But obviously the heist of the century was what it was, and it was amazing, and it was truncated because the show was running long. And so that's why the match had to become a triple threat. But him cut, like, first of all, just the modern day production, right? Punk celebrating and then Rollins music hitting and just the look on his face. And Rollins coming out on the crutches and the announcers selling the fact that he's here to remind CM Punk, Rollins walking away. And just everything was so perfect. The dropping of the crutches, the way he turned around and tossed the sunglasses, taking off the leg brace, and then running to the ring. And he started limping at first, because probably because his leg was in a fucking brace for hours, I'm assuming. Right. So he starts running to the ring, and like, that was just such a great moment. And at that point, you knew. You knew CM Punk wasn't going to thwart this cash in. You knew that this was going to go the way of Seth Rollins. And it was great. And I loved every second of it. The cash in itself was fine. It was just a move and it was done. But everything leading up to it, the performance by Seth Rollins, like, and I know some people have been down on his run since WrestleMania, because now he's like the big star in the company. He's an all-timer and he's on an all-time run, in my opinion. And this is just another part of it. And I hope he has a backstage role someday in the company. Kind of like how we see videos of Triple H teaching people how to do their entrances, this and that, because Rollins is a great storyteller. And
yes,
which is funny because we met him in 2010, and he was just a dude with everybody else, and he was kind of thrown in the middle of everything with Ring of Honor and all that. But like, he has really turned into a true all-time great, and he deserves those flowers, and he deserved them before, but this was expertly done, in my opinion.
Yeah, it was terrific. I watched night one on Sunday, so I didn't watch it in real time. I told you that I was out with some friends at a concert, hanging out, and I remember, I can't remember what I needed to do, but I had to like walk away from watching it at some point, and so like. But I just let it run because it was like part of that hour run time where I just wasn't really there painted. But I made it back in time to watch the Gunther match and the CM Punk match, and it was, you know, chilly and settling in. And usually around the house, the Mrs. O'Dowd, not the biggest professional wrestling fan, so I'll keep the volume down. But I wanted to hear the reaction that I knew was coming. And if you ever have any doubt about why people are where they are, you just need to go and look for moments like this.
Mm-hmm.
Because when his music hits, and you talked about Punk's face, after having which, while I know a lot of people complained about the match itself being kind of slow and plodding, that's kind of what Gunther does. But from the second that music hits and you see Punk's face, and everybody's going nuts because they're like, yay, he's here. And then when he drops the crutches, it hits another level of volume. Like, I turned it up a little bit so I could hear it. And it's, you know, is it the Chris Jericho debut pop? Is it the Return of the Rock pop? You know, the first one? No. But damned if it's not up there.
Yeah, it's up there.
And damned if it didn't work. And when he runs down that aisle and they know it's happening, I always, like, every time I question the point of Money in the Bank and whether it's still needed or relevant the way it is, you get a good cash in. And I'm like, it still has legs if you can do it like that. The problem is not all of them can be done like that.
And Naomi's was good, too. Naomi cashing in at Evolution. And I credit them. Both cash-ins this year took place in the main event of PLEs. And both cash-ins were huge moments when they happened. So I am fully on board with how both cash-ins happened this year. It's the end of the summer. Both briefcases are now completely out of play. We don't have to carry a briefcase, talk about a briefcase, worry about a briefcase until next year. So there's that advantage that we have as well. And last year they cashed in one right away, and the other one they cashed in January, or the end of December, the last SmackDown, last SmackDown on Fox, when Tiffany Stratton cashed in on Nia Jax. And of course she did that here in Phoenix. So it was huge. Huge moment for everybody here. But, I thought it was great. I think people are popping. It's amplified because they're popping for the guy. They love Seth Rollins.
There's also significantly more people there.
There's significantly more people there, yes. They're also popping for the moment.
Sure.
Because they knew what was about to happen. And had Punk thwarted the cash in, they would have popped for that too. Like, don't get me wrong. Punk's a huge star. And there was that argument online recently about if he's truly changed, and I think he has. I think it's pretty evident in everything that you're seeing right now. But I know people were mad about the Saudi Arabia thing, but whatever. Like, who cares? The Rollins thing, like, he's just so good and so great. And now they finally given the faction a name. If I were them, I would just put Becky Lynch in the faction. I really would.
Might as well.
Like,
I mean, after Raw this week, you might as well.
Yeah. You know, like you might as well put her in there. I thought she should have won when, like, Rollins' music hits at SummerSlam or something and distracts Lyra Valkyria. It would have been better than what they did. But, because that was, I think that what they did with Lyra Valkyria and Becky Lynch was well-intentioned. I just think, to quote the immortal passing away of Hulk Hogan, Lyra's not the guy, brother. Like,
no,
at least not yet. Bobby wasn't the guy, brother, but eventually became the guy. So I just think Lyra's not the guy, brother. But she'll get there. I do think she's good. It's just, it's hard. It's hard to expect to wrestle that long with your hands tied, zip tied in zip ties that aren't that tight.
And you were talking about this. We were talking about stupid internet. The number of armchair people out there that were like, well, when her hand slipped out, she should have done this and she should have done that. And like, they should have just blah, blah, blah. I was like, tell me you've never done a live anything.
Right. They're saying this from their couch eating Cheetos.
Yeah.
Not like, in front of 50,000 people in a football stadium.
If you're Lyra Valkyria, you're like, no, my hand's supposed to stay in there. I'm going to do what I can to get back in the restraint.
And we have spots planned for later that involve this.
And right. Yeah. Like, and somebody's like, well, like, Becky should have, like, they just should have, like, run with it. Becky should have just redone it. And I'm like, maybe. And yeah, maybe they could have thought that through on the fly. They didn't. And are you telling me that in the moment you would have done that? You don't know.
Yeah, you don't know.
You weren't there.
You have the benefit of hindsight being 2020, the benefit of sitting on your
1,000%.
Couch. 1,000%. And zero athletic ability whatsoever. Again,
yeah, it was. I felt bad for them in that moment, but I thought they did the best that they could as they tried to figure out their way through it. Yes, I think Becky should join that faction. I think, you know, if you're cutting a promo on Nikki Bella and talking about your husband.
Right. Well, I like the fact they don't hide the fact that they're husband and wife.
Right.
Maybe they're saving that. Maybe that's the, like, once maybe. Breaker breaks off and this faction's over, maybe they're saving that for a future when they can kind of be a power couple. Who knows? It's not all one and done in wrestling, and especially these days. And definitely love to see it. But kudos to Seth Rollins. I mean, filming content, walking down the street with his daughter on the crutches, everything. There was a report, and I didn't find it, and I wish I had. And I like Mike Johnson, and I like PW Insider, and I think they're good people. And so I kind of feel bad about what I'm about to say, but whatever. Mike Johnson put out a report that said, you know, that you're walking a thin line. Like, if he really wasn't injured, he flew to Birmingham, he got evaluated, all the talent thought he was injured, all his students thought he was injured. Like, you're working so many people, you're going to cause distrust, you're going to cause all these negative things that come out of it because you worked everybody and put them in a situation where, you know, they might not trust you in the future. And I found that interesting. And I see you breathing and hear you breathing as well. And I have two different thoughts on it, right? Thought number one is, I go back to years ago when Sasha Banks was in WWE and she would complain. Sometimes they wouldn't know what they were doing until they got to the building. And we talked about it, it's because talent talk to people. Talent, especially if talent doesn't like what the plans are, they're going to complain to Sean Ross Sapp or some other idiot or some other good person like Mike Johnson from PW Insider or Ross Keller. They're going to talk and they're going to try to get their agenda out there because they don't like what's being planned. So WWE doesn't tell them, so they can't talk. So there's that. Now this one, if they were trying to protect the angle, didn't matter because half people out there thought it was a work anyway and that he was going to be cashing in at SummerSlam. And that was a very big prediction, was him cashing in at SummerSlam. But here's my other side of that same coin, Patrick O'Dowd. Mike Johnson's like, well, you're working all the fans, you're working all the talent, you're working your students, you're working everywhere. That's, maybe, Mike, all those people were working you.
Right.
Maybe they were in on the story and were selling it because they knew the plan and they were bought in. Maybe Rollins told his students, like, look, you're wrestling students. You need to understand this. Here's where we're going. Maybe talent that knew what they knew and weren't going to tell you that because they're working you. Maybe your trusted sources aren't as trusted sourcing as you think they are. Because they get the business. They get the where their paycheck. They're not getting their paycheck from PW Insider. They're getting it from WWE. Right. They're not getting their training right. from PW Insider. His students are getting it from Seth Rollins, who works for WWE. But I just love how that possibility that he was worked was immediately dismissed.
Sure. Yeah, I go back to, and I, you know, and again, we don't know one way or the other what which scenario is true.
Right.
But how well does that angle go if we're already leaking it and not predicting it, right?
Exactly. Like, we needed that doubt.
Is it nearly as fun? No.
And here's the thing. If people are complaining about the level they went to lie to everybody about if that's true, that's the fault of the people who are complaining because they're the ones who report shit. the internet has ruined wrestling, right? That's a phrase that's been used over and over and over again. This is proof of how wrestling has had to adjust to the internet wrestling community and to the news. You won. The fact that they had to trick you, go to these lengths to trick you, means you won. And you're still complaining about the fact that you won because you're fickle, like Daniel Bryan Danielson said, and you're never going to be happy.
Fickle. I love Chelsea Green had a quote not too long ago in an interview that she gave, and I feel like this is a perfect example about the difference between like indie wrestling and wrestling for the WWE. And she's like, the biggest thing that I had to learn was that you're wrestling for the camera, not for the audience. And meaning that it's a product and it's a show. And that's what we saw. Like, in the live audience is part of the show. They aren't the show, but they are part of the show. But the point is wrestling for a camera, not for a person that's live in the seats.
That's why the empty seats are on the hard camera side.
Right.
Because it's a TV show. And they tell you it's a TV show. And the sooner you accept it, and that's what we said before. People watch wrestling not understanding what they're watching.
This was a climax to a story.
Absolutely.
Or a climax to a chapter of a story.
Yeah. And it was great. And I loved it. I loved every second of it. And when he came out, I was excited. And I, because I watched it on delay, that was like one of the few things I had spoiled for me. Like, I saw that he cashed in, but I didn't see how. Right? I didn't see, like, I saw the stuff in the ring. I didn't see the entrance. And so I got to see the entrance not knowing that he tosses the crutches and that he takes the brace off. And honestly, my favorite part is the way he threw the sunglasses. Believe it or not. Like, even though that was the least poignant of all the moments, he turns just so nonchalantly, throws the sunglasses. That was where he said, this shit's going down right now. Like, I am winning. I'm taking your title right now. I said you'll never be champion again, and here's where we are. And Seth Rollins falls in that category of Adam Cole. We'll talk about him another day. That lets me be a fan in the things that they do. And Seth Rollins does that. And that's why I like Seth Rollins so much. So I do want to give a, just because we talk about the celebrity wrestling so much on this program, I thought Jelly Roll did great.
Yeah, he played his role perfectly.
Yeah. It was kind of funny. And I saw reports recently that the finish was changed and that the babyface were supposed to go over. I don't know if I believe that, because if you go watch the finishing sequence of that match, you can see Jelly Roll doing everything to be where he was choreographed to be.
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. 1,000. He was going to make sure he did not give Logan Paul any room to mess up.
Like you saw him move his back to be in the right spot for that spot. Then you saw him get in position. He covered up way too early because he was like, I'm going to do this right. And that's fine. It's his first ever wrestling match. Let me find
there's no way they changed the finish. There's just no way.
I'm with you. I'm with you there as well. I know you don't watch NXT, but Jared Stacks Lorenzo, put out a comment that I do want to acknowledge and read, where he talked about Jelly Roll. And Jelly Roll trained at the Performance Center. They even filmed content there. And Stax put this out. I think it was on Saturday before their match. And I just want to read it real quick. It's not that long. He says, I've been at the PC for 3.5 years. I've seen plenty of D1 athletes take a couple of bumps and give up in a few weeks because they can't handle it. The training and the grind broke them. Jelly Roll broke his finger day one of training, and he taped that finger up and was punching me in the face with it the next day. We pushed him hard, expecting more from him every day, and he delivered. He smiled and sang through every minute of training and then grabbed the broom and swept the ring. I've watched him commit every ounce of energy he had to his SummerSlam match tonight. He may not consider himself an athlete, but he's got that Mamba mentality. He worked his ass off for this. Tonight, Jelly Roll is a WWE superstar, and he's going to put on a show for the whole world. So that's coming from a wrestler. So when fans complain about celebrity wrestlers, but wrestlers are cool with it. And what's really funny was the match had Logan Paul in it.
Right.
And I think it's time. You and I have already done this. Logan Paul's not a celebrity wrestler.
No, he's not.
That's gone. He's a wrestler. That's what he does.
He might be a part-timer, but he is a wrestler.
He might, at the end of his life, at the end of his days, might be more known for wrestling than anything else.
Oh, I think so. I'm still ready for the Logan Paul world champion run.
I think it's going to happen. Honestly, it happens. Who's in position right now to challenge Cody Rhodes at WrestleMania 42?
I mean, Logan Paul would be super fun.
Exactly. That's the thing. Like, you can kind of see them go the Punk Rollins route if they really wanted to for WrestleMania 42.
Right.
It's been done, but not one-on-one at WrestleMania. They had the three-way this past year. You could go Roman and Cody again. I do think they'll revisit that at some point, maybe not WrestleMania. Why not Logan Paul? Seriously, why TF not? Like,
because people want to put that celebrity stigma on him and say that he hasn't earned it, which is fucking stupid. Because the man's a natural. The man's a natural. He's got a gift. He's talented. He's not a bad athlete at all. Every time he enters the ring, he has shown great improvement. And people are going to watch him.
Oh, yeah.
And
he's box
not
office.
In a Ronda Rousey sort of way. Like, I think he's earned it. Like, I think he's earned it. And I think when did I say that? I said I was bought in on him. I can't remember which match it was where I finally was like, that guy. I think I predicted him to win the Royal Rumble.
I did.
It was like my dark horse pick to win the Royal Rumble. I was like,
it might have been the Roman match where you said that. It might have been before the Roman match. I don't know. You didn't watch the Roman match. It was in Saudi Arabia, so it wasn't the Roman match.
Right. No, it was not.
Could have been the Ricochet match at SummerSlam a couple years ago because that match was phenomenal. Could have been.
But I definitely remember when we were talking about the Royal Rumble. I said something. That was like my outside of the box pick.
Yeah,
I may have picked it for the chair shot.
You may have. I picked Jey Uso this year, and I was the only one. And look at me go. So,
who'd you go? Indeed.
So I do want to acknowledge that because that was great. The women's three-way was amazing. Roxanne Perez is a star. I was okay with Charlotte and Alexa winning, even though I thought the Judgment Day duo should have won. I thought they'd win them right back. They didn't. They lost on Raw. So we're going to continue that story, and that's all fine and well. Dominic Mysterio, like his match with AJ Styles, like, dude, Dominic's just... he's a star. Like, he's putting together a legendary career. That's why he's going to hold both those titles. And he should. And he's doing so not being physically imposing. He's tall and lanky and skinny and wears the outfits that he wears because of it. But I've said it a million times, turning him heel and putting him in the Judgment Day was the best thing they could have done for that guy. I imagine when he retires, he's probably going to have at Dominic Mysterio's Hall of Fame speech, because it's going to happen. Let's be honest. Yeah. Right. He'll probably talk more about Finn Balor than anybody. Because most of his formative points, Finn Balor's been there with him. And I guarantee you, Finn has had such a major impact on this guy's career that we don't even know about. Just because with their relationship and the Judgment Day and everything that they've done. So I bet he will credit Finn Balor, along with his father, of course, with so much of his development as a pro wrestler and where it's gotten him to where he is and where he ends up being. Because he might be world champion too someday, along with side of Logan Paul. So then we get to the John Cena-Cody Rhodes match. As far as street fights go, I liked it. I really enjoyed it.
I did like everybody else. I loved him coming up.
Yes. On the elevator. And I'm glad that they were okay being hokey about those things, right?
Right.
It was the only match where they really fought in the crowd. I want to go back. Like the TLC match, they did things that haven't been done before. That's hard to do. First TLC was in the 90s. So
right. We're
talking almost 30 years ago, 28 years ago, with the Hardys and the Dudleys sitting in the crowd. You also had an ODQ match, you also had a cage match, and you had a street fight all on the same card, all on the same day of the same card. Probably a mistake, but they managed to keep everything unique and fresh. There were a couple things that were repeated that I don't even remember now. Shows how little of importance they had that I noticed at the time, but I thought it was good. I don't know why everybody thought there were going to be tons of interference. No one else was involved in this feud at this point.
Right, right. Yeah, there was no need for Gaga.
Yeah, like they just assumed there would be because of what happened, you know, at WrestleMania when Cody won. Just all you have was Travis Scott. But to me, it was the performance of John Cena. Cody is Cody. I've talked about it before, how I feel about him is not being as genuine as he is or whatever. But he's the captain. He's the baby face of the future. He is where he is. And it's working. And I'm not here to dispute that. I don't know if you saw SmackDown the day before.
I meant to watch the speech turn.
It was really well done. So well done that people didn't believe it. Because they were like, no, they're setting up the double turn or they're setting up heel, whatever. Basically, he put a bow on Travis Scott's not coming back. And he put a bow on The Rock's not coming back. But what I really liked and disliked all at the same time, because it was kind of shootish, kind of insiderish, he said that the turn, he was convinced the turn by The Rock because it would make good television. That's what felt shooty about it to me, because it's like, okay, so it makes it. But then he pointed off with the only platinum-selling rapper that's going to kick your ass at SummerSlam is me. And that was a shot at Travis Scott. And that was amazing. But then when his music hits at SummerSlam, and it was the old black and white screen, and then at the Yabba-Doo, it goes into the full John Cena. The crowd's reaction at that point was amazing, because at that point, the crowd was like, yep, that is the old John Cena.
Yep. And then he starts talking to the cameraman. And
whoever decided to do it that way is brilliant. Whoever decided, start with the black and white, just John Cena in the Impact font, and then go to the full-blown John Cena multicolored everything, that was pure brilliance. And it sold everything. I love the moment at the end where Cody was gone and Cena's doing his thing. And look, love him or hate him, the bigger pop than Seth Rollins was Brock Lesnar's.
It was.
And I loved it.
Yeah, I've never had a big attachment to Brock.
And you know,
not the same way that you do. My thing on this, I actually tweeted about it, because I am tired of the Cody Rhodes champion. Like, I'm just tired of it. And so when he won, even though I knew he was going to win, I booed it. When I gave my opinion on social media for everybody to follow. And then Brock's music hit, and I was like, oh, so that's where they're going. Okay, then. Like, that makes sense. Cool. We'll do it. It's going to do well. And it's a hurdle John Cena hasn't been able to conquer. So it makes a ton of sense in the retirement tour that Brock would be on that to-do list. And so, yeah, I know you love it. I'm fine with it. I'm not going to throw stones at anybody who's like, I'm not going to watch these matches because Brock, blah, 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 because I don't watch the Saudi Arabia shows. We just talked about that. So I'm not going to tell you need to get over yourself, because I don't watch an entire PLE when it is in a certain country. So won't go that far, but this makes sense. I nodded. I was like, okay. But I've never been a big Brock Lesnar fan. So like, I was like, oh, that's cool. I've only popped for him one time, and that was when I was in an arena and he showed up with Money in the Bank. And how can you not lose your mind when everybody's losing their mind at a show? Like, that's
just, and again, they're losing their mind for the moment, just like they did with Seth Rollins. Like, that's
right.
That's what they did. I'm not going to complain about it. I'm a Brock fan. We base everything off one claim. I don't know if true or not. I don't know. I'm not here to victim blame. I'm not here to anything. There sure is a hell of a lot that you could say that the victim did and accepted money for and all that before all this. So, yeah, it is what it is. And I'm not here to even have those conversations, because I don't think they're fair to anyone. So we're going to stick away from it. I do have a 3-minute warning. So let's dig into this, and then we'll call it a show. A nice long show, but still a show.
All right, gentlemen, you have 3 minutes, and you better make it good.
We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. The clock is ticking, and we're in the clear. We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. We got 3 minutes, and we're out.
All right, Patrick O'Dowd, we are back for our 3-minute warning. I know you haven't watched a ton of the product, but I did want to talk about something that is really, it's one of those little things that's highly entertaining. And it's Bronson Reed. I'm a big Bronson Reed fan.
Thing?
Yes, we'll get there. I'm a big Bronson Reed fan. Now, does that mean I'm a fan of Big Bronson Reed? Of Big Bronson? Because his name is Big Bronson Reed. So saying I'm a big Bronson Reed fan is kind of confusing. I'm a big Bronson Reed. I like Bronson Reed. Okay. The character currently played by Jonah from Australia, I am a fan of. He's in a rough spot. He truly is. Because he's in a faction with Seth freaking Rollins, with Paul Heyman, who, by the way, I saw somebody report when the Vision was trademarked as the name of the faction, they were like, So contrary to the prior reports that the Oracle was going to be the name of the faction, I'm like, the Oracle was always the name for Paul Heyman. Like, what the hell's
Paul
wrong
Heyman. Yeah.
So you got Paul Heyman, who's already in the Hall of Fame, deservedly so. Whether you think he's the greatest manager of all time, whether you don't, doesn't matter. He's already in the Hall of Fame. You got Seth freaking Rollins, who if he retired tomorrow, he's in the Hall of Fame. And he's on his like eighth world title run now, and he did so in brilliant fashion. You got Bron Breakker, who's already been tapped as the future of the country or the company. Maybe the country too. Maybe he runs for office someday. Who knows? Probably not. But and he works for WWE, so his we know what his political affiliation would be. Plus his dad. But you got Bron Breakker, who's been tapped as the future of the company, and will probably get there. And you got Bronson Reed, who he needs a thing. Like, what's your thing?
Right.
And he stole Roman Reigns' shoes a couple weeks ago, and he stuck with it. And the tribal thief is amazing. Yeah. And the fact that he wears it around his neck and he calls it the Shula Fala is even better.
Yeah,
like, those are the little things in wrestling that just make you smile so much. And he revels in it. You can just tell the way he sits there when Heyman's talking about it. Like, I hope that Bronson Reed gets some kind of a run, whether he's world champion, whether he's intercontinental champion, US, whether Heyman and Bron are tag champs. I don't know why they haven't done that yet. I'm sure they will at some point, but I was a big fan of his in NXT. I wanted him to get a run. I thought he should have been NXT champion. I thought he could do a whole lot. And I just love that, you know, despite being released multiple times and everything, that he is getting this opportunity. And yep. I can't wait to see where it goes for him. But he obviously gets it, right? Because he could have stayed in Japan. He could have done whatever he wanted to do. But he took the opportunity to come back. And this was his first SummerSlam. He hasn't been able to wrestle at Mania yet. He probably will this coming year. Probably going to be in War Games somehow. But the Tribal Thief and the Shula Fala is just...
Yeah, I've seen the pictures. And this is the thing that I love about... Because here's the thing, and this is the comp, because you love it. I know a lot of people love it. But I have also seen the people who watch the other show, like thumb their nose at it as if they wouldn't be losing their mind over how funny and creative it is if it had happened on their show.
Yes. Like, oh, absolutely.
Like, that's how you know it works. This is very much to me, strike that sort of like, hate us, and that is a hate us because they ain't us sort of moment. Like,
oh, you're right.
You like, it's cute, it's fun, and it doesn't make him any less threatening. I mean, that's the thing. Like, he's a heavy too.
He stole them from Roman Reigns.
Right. Like, he's not a goof. That's my point. He's not a goof.
Yes.
And it's over enough that CM Punk can post a picture of his shoes on Instagram saying, I still got my shoes.
See?
After the show. So, shit's working.
And that's, again, I know we talked about it before. Punk gets it. I do think it's a different CM Punk that we're seeing now than the Punk that did all those horrible things back in the past. Not things that we label as horrible, but, you know, all the ways he screwed over Colt Cabana and all the claims he made that were probably false, like, and how difficult he was to work with. I do think the time in AEW and going back to WWE truly did change him. And we're seeing the best version of CM Punk, the dude, at this point in his career. But yeah, good for Bronson Reed. That's my hell thing. Good for Bronson Reed. He's in the toughest spot in a great faction, and he's found his... Like, I'll be honest with you. He's a better member of the Vision than Jimmy Uso was of the Bloodline.
Oh, shots fired. Not wrong, but shots fired.
Because Sammy was Sammy Uso, right?
Right.
You had Roman. Solo was the right-hand man when he was there before he turned. Jay was main event Jey Uso, and it launched him into being a world champion. And Roman was Roman, and Heyman was Heyman. And Jimmy was this why Jimmy is where Jimmy is now. And you know, now part of the Solo feud and helping out Jacob Fatu and all of that. And we'll eventually get back with Jay and the Roman and the Bloodline, OG Bloodline. Will come back together, and they'll sell a bunch of merch, and it'll be great. But Bronson Reed has found his spot and is doing a great job with it. And they've managed to make his finisher look like, you know, $1 million as well. And so that's a big part of it too. But, I'm very happy with it. I'm happy with all of it, but Bronson Reed just makes me happy. Again, as a guy who's too involved in this business, sometimes when something like that can make me happy, I'm all for it. So thank you.
There you go. Be happy.
Thank
bro.
You, Bronson Reed. So, and that's it. We are done. We are done recording. we're done with this week's show. We hope you enjoyed it. Go follow Patrick O'Dowd. He talked about tweeting earlier at Wrestling Realist, WRESTLNGREALIST. Go follow me at Greg DeMarco 44. Patrick probably tweets more than I log into Twitter right now. I feel like my life has been better because of it, even though I do miss the DM chat. And I know there's programs out there where you can see just your messaging, and I'm trying to find that because I think it'll help. But I'll be back on Twitter someday, just like we keep changing the name of the program.
Sorry, before you go.
Of course.
Just to bring this full circle, I know you don't check Twitter, and here's how I know you don't check Twitter. I DM'd you a tweet from Bully Ray.
Did you?
It was actually somebody commenting on Bully Ray's tweet about how dated a take it was.
Huh.
And it is the literal quote that we talked about earlier today. So that is proof positive, noble listener, that Greg DeMarco will not respond to your Twitter posts at him because he is not on Twitter.
You did on Wednesday.
Yep. Look at that. Even when we're not talking, we're vibing.
That's just life.
That's best friend talk right there.
And you know what? Pens fan who commented on Bully Ray, you are 100% correct. So
he is.
All right, that's enough Twitter for me. killed. Like I said, I'll get back on there. It's up and down, but I'm a happy man right now with my social media usage or lack thereof. So it's all good. But we appreciate you listening at Chairshot Media for the website, thechairshot.com. Listen for all your favorite podcasts, articles, so much more, all available to you at the Chair Shot. What happened to the, suddenly I'm on IZW theme songs on my foobar. So, all right, we are back.
TheChairShot.com. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Until next time, be awesome.
Awesome!
I came to...
Okay.
This Labor Day at Lowe's, shop member-only doorbuster deals for a limited time. Save $50 on an Ego string trimmer, now $169. Plus, get 50% off select Holland pavers. Not a rewards member? Sign up for free today. But hurry, Labor Day doorbuster deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 9/1 while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.